Good morning. I've been approached many times by people who ask a simple question. It goes something like this: do you think I ought to come to church when I don't feel like it? There are times when I want to come and really enjoy the service, but there are other times when I just really don't have any inclination at all to come to church. Am I a hypocrite to come then? In addition, sometimes I find that worship is quite boring. Why should I come to something that bores me? Now, I'd like to answer that question for any of you who may ask that question. Do you only pay your bills and your rent when you feel like it? Who's being worshipped here in reality? Who is being worshipped? Worship is something that we do. It's a matter of love. It's a matter of gratitude. It's a matter of giving thanks. It's a matter of praise for our Creator and our Redeemer. And sometimes it really doesn't, if you're married, that guy, do you just take care of him some of the time when you feel like it? Or that girl? It doesn't matter how we feel necessary. It is a matter of giving the Lord the glory that is due His name. That's why we're here. If you ever ask me or yourself or somebody else the questions that I just posed here, there are some things that can be said. Sometimes you may find worship to be boring because you didn't prepare adequately. There are very few occasions in life when you just jump out of bed and you rush to a performance and expect it to be exciting when you've done no preparation on your own. Example, I am a Chicago Bear fan and have been since the years of Gale Sayers and Dick Butkus. So that's a long time. I have been a Bear fan through thick and thin, and some of you are too, and it's been thin more than thick. They've been pretty lean. Now, when I got married to Berta, she wasn't a football fan at all. I mean, she didn't even think about football much of anything. She would watch it because she had to, because I was in the house, but she didn't get really excited. And that was true of all football games, except that she began to prepare herself for the Bears. To prepare these events, I would talk about the Chicago Bears. And I would do it, all week long. I mean, September comes around and life was worth living again. She would know the players. She would know the opponents. She literally knew all about the game as it was happening and those big events occurred. And so she was prepared to watch the Chicago Bears. Now, she might miss a touchdown here and there, but she was kind of excited about them because, well, I prepared her. She prepared herself. And with adequate training, she began to understand all about that boring football game. You know, athletes warm up before they compete. Orchestras do a lot of tending to their instruments before they play. This group up here takes time to prepare for what they do in terms of leading us in worship. Actors rehearse before they perform. Orators think before they speak. Do you think that what I'm saying up here is just all off the cuff? I've been thinking about this. I've been putting it down. I've been working on it. But we as Christians, especially today, have a tendency not to prepare ourselves for worship. And the success or failure of worship for an individual is often determined by the attitude that begins at the door of the church. Let me say that again. The success or failure of worship for an individual often is determined by the attitude that you develop right there at the door of the church. Actually, this has been the case throughout a lot of things, a lot of time in worship. So let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would make your presence known to us today. I pray that you would pour your Holy Spirit out upon us, that you would fill us with your presence, that you would give us a sense of your being here. I also ask that you would accept our praise and thanksgiving and our worship as we come here today. And we ask this in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It was the custom of the founder of the Cistercian order of monks, whenever he went to chapel, to stand at the door and wait in silence before he opened it and entered. Now, none of the other monks knew what he was thinking, but all of them knew that what he was doing, he was preparing for the occasion which was to follow as he came into the presence of God. And thus it became a habit of all those monks to lay a hand upon the knob of the door and just stand there. They refrained from haste as they prepared to enter into the presence of God. And this spiritual courtesy is not a mere mannerism, but it goes back to the experience of man from our very beginnings. Do you know that the Jews do not enter the synagogue for services until they have prepared themselves the night before? The Roman Catholic kneels, crosses himself or herself as they come into the church. They humble themselves to something majestic. Somehow, we Protestants have discarded a lot of that preparation, and we casually enter the house. We don't think about what we're doing. We just kind of like we're going into a theater or an airport terminal or a meeting of a local Kiwanis club or something like that. And perhaps the greatest failure of the church may be that we are too unexpected, that we have become so enamored with the routine aspects of what we do here in worship that we do not expect and anticipate anything to really happen in terms of the power of God or the presence of God or the message that God may have for each one of us. Preparation is actually the root of expectation. If we are prepared to do something, we get more out of it. Whether we're talking about playing football, reading a book, going to worship, even going on vacation. You know, as you read the Bible, notice how much attention is given to the importance of being prepared to meet God, especially in some of the Psalms that you read, on being prepared for the kingdom, on anticipating the presence of God in your life. We're going to open our worship with some song. We're going to lift our hearts to God. And if you'll notice that the three songs that we are about to sing have to do with three moments in time, notice what they are. Songs this morning are three moments in time. The reason that we give our worship to God is because he was born like us. He died on the cross, but he rose again. You can go now. Three moments in time. It's why we give our worship to God. You kids want to come up and Pam's going to... Well, the theme of today is kind of about preparation. Preparation is the root of expectation. If we're prepared to do something, we're going to get more out of it. Perhaps the most important parable on being prepared is that of the wise and the foolish maidens. Read with me, you have it in your bulletin, Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 13. Here we go. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be compared to 10 maidens who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, "Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those maidens rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "Perhaps there will not be enough for us and for you. Go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other maidens came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." Jesus told this story one day of 10 maidens who took lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 of them were wise. The foolish ones took no oil with them. The wise ones did. The bridegroom was somehow delayed, and all the maidens slumbered and slept. And at midnight, the bridegroom shows up, and all the maidens rise. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise said, "If we give you some of ours, there will not be enough for both of us, all of us. So go to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And while they're gone, the bridegroom comes, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast. And the door was shut. This is a parable on preparation, and it ought to speak to us a little. Often many people say to others, "My religious fire is going out. Church and worship just don't mean the same to me anymore. I just don't feel like getting up and getting there. And when I do get there, it's so dull." And Berta said, "Do it anyway." Oh, well. What I need is a revival every now and then, just to sort of fire me up and get me over the slump. Our churches, maidens, maybe, denominations, if Jesus should come now, the door is shut on some churches, I'm afraid. There's people out there and their lamps are going out. They're not prepared. Often God visits his people and those who are ready feast with him. And other times, others let the mind go elsewhere, and actually what they do is they never experience God's presence when he is available to them. So be prepared. Be prepared when you worship on Sunday morning. Be prepared in your life with your own personal worship so that if the time comes, you're ready. There's a simple lesson. We're going to pray for these girls here in just a second. But there's a simple prayer that we all probably have heard. Some of us may have even prayed it at some times. When I was a kid, I knew this prayer. It goes like this. "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." And we say, kids say that sometimes. I don't know if they do. It's kind of gone out of vogue, you might say, or out of our minds, because it's kind of morbid, isn't it, in reality? And besides, I'm an adult, and I can pray a little bit more eloquently at night if I want to. But I want you to know about that prayer. Because sometimes when we pray, we're not thinking about anything in terms of that prayer. The story behind that particular prayer was written by, it was written by a man by the name of John Rogers, and the prayer grew out of a life deeply dedicated to Christ Jesus because of his preaching of the gospel in the Protestant churches in England. John Rogers was burned to death along with his wife, small children, and a baby of his. And each night before he went to bed, knowing that because of his willingness to speak out for God in the Protestant churches of England, death was a real possibility. And that is the prayer that he prayed. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I don't think we should take for granted things that come down to us. There's a lot of things in our lives that have deeper meaning to it. It's said that prayer, and we're still saying if you're communicating it over the centuries, you are actually saying the prayer of a man who died for his faith. So occasionally if you hear that prayer, it's not no longer just dull or routine. It kind of brings to mind what may have been happening when that prayer was first said. I want to talk to you about that little thing because we're going to pray for these girls today that you have a list and we're going to pray for them by name. And I would like for you to say, "Come, Holy Spirit," after I read their names. But as we pray for them, I want you to understand that this is not dull and this is not routine. We do it, well, last week we did it as well, and we did it for three or four different places. But it's not dull. It's not routine. We're praying for real people, and they have names. Let's pray.